Chapter 11, Arctic Visions. The polar regions of the North are widely represented in the collection. These objects not only describe exploration, commerce, imagination, and courage, but embody the human spirit, capturing mankind's experience with one of the world's harshest environments. While the most widely known Yankee whaling and exploration occurred in the Western Arctic in the latter half of the 19th century, the Eastern Arctic also saw robust interest. Throughout the centuries, many people adopted the idea of an open polar sea. These beliefs, a combination of myth, observation, and theory, ironically reflect modern-day reality as the Arctic seas are increasingly open to navigation. After defeating the French in the Napoleonic Wars 1803 to 1815, the British searched for a sea route through the Arctic Ocean, and the Northwest Passage was their primary focus. The ensuing expeditions to polar seas faced many challenges, including storms, ice, starvation, and debilitating cold. Sir John Franklin, an officer in the Royal Navy and experienced Arctic explorer, sailed from England in May 1845 on an ill-fated expedition. His ships, the Erebus and Terror, failed to return as expected. Between 1849 and 1858, no less than 36 expeditions set out in an attempt to find them. Unbeknownst to all at that time, Franklin had died in 1847, and his men abandoned their ships the following year in a futile effort to reach civilization by traveling overland. Commodore of the New York Yacht Club and New Bedford native Henry Grinnell, 1799 to 1874, after retiring from his family's shipping business, donated two ships to the U.S. Grinnell Expedition of 1850 in search of Franklin. These efforts earned Grinnell the title Father of American Arctic Discovery, as he spent most of his fortune sponsoring six Arctic expeditions between the years 1850 and 1871. The British ship HMS Resolute sailed twice in search of the lost Franklin expedition. Abandoned in 1854, the American whaling bark George Henry, captained by James Buddington, salvaged the Resolute in 1855. Henry Grinnell urged the United States government to refit the Resolute and return her to the British Navy, where she ably served until her retirement in 1879. When the ship was broken up later that year, Queen Victoria commissioned three desks fashioned from the ship's timbers, one given to the United States President Rutherford B. Hayes, the desk currently sits in the Oval Office, and a second, now on long-term loan from the British Royal Collection, to the Royal Naval Museum in Portsmouth, England. The third is the Whaling Museum's Grinnell desk. It was a gift from the Queen to Grinnell's widow in gratitude for his efforts to find Sir John Franklin. Museum holdings include many photographs and lantern slides representing the difficulties of working and surviving in this alien Arctic environment. Photographing at all in this climate would have been a huge undertaking. Early photographic technology of the 19th century made the job cumbersome to begin with, and the extreme cold stressed cameras, equipment, and photographers. Perhaps most impressive of all is the work by William Bradford that portrayed the northern polar regions in their entire splendor. Bradford began his painting career in 1852 in the studio overlooking New Bedford Harbor. He drew inspiration from the city's historic whaleship fleet. Under Dutch marine painter Albert van Beest's influence, Bradford began to paint more ambitious maritime scenes in the harbors of New Bedford and Boston. In 1861, with a mature style of his own, Bradford began a series of northern voyages that would earn him fame as the premier painter of polar regions. Six cruises in chartered schooners brought him to the coast of Labrador, where ice-clogged harbors, crude summer settlements of Newfoundland fishermen, and the distinctive light of a cold climate inspired the works that advanced his reputation. Now a part of the museum collection, Bradford's Sealers Crushed by Icebergs debuted at a single-picture exhibition held for the benefit of the Soldiers' Orphan Society and later toured from Boston to New York, Providence, Philadelphia, and eventually London. After the Labrador voyages, Bradford organized his final and most ambitious expedition. chartering the bark Panther, a 325-ton sealing vessel. He set off in the summer of 1869 up the Greenland coast as far above the Arctic Circle as ice permitted, in pursuit of subjects for his paintings. He reached Melville Bay before turning back due to impenetrable pack ice, but he returned with scores of oil sketches, drawings, and over 300 photographs taken by Boston professionals John L. Dunmore and George Christensen. Many examples of Bradford's initial artistic renderings and Dunmore and Christensen's original negatives from the voyage are in the collection. From this material, Bradford would execute in his New York, London, and San Francisco studios the paintings that would earn him fame on an international scale. In England, for a portion of each year between 1871 and 1874, Bradford enjoyed the most rewarding period of his career, due in part to the commission of a painting by Queen Victoria. The Queen also headed the subscription list for Bradford's costly, oversized book, The Arctic Regions, 1873, and republished in 2013 by the New Bedford Whaling Museum, which contained his narrative of the Panther's voyage. The book was originally published in London and illustrated with 141 photographs, and only an estimated 300 volumes were printed. Remarkably, three local repositories house original volumes, one at the Whaling Museum and the others at the Millicent Library in Fairhaven and the New Bedford Free Public Library. Bradford's book recounts his three-month journey along the western coast of Greenland. Unlike earlier Arctic journeys undertaken to discover the Northwest Passage, earn commercial profit, gain national prestige, or satisfy scientific curiosity, Bradford journeyed solely for art with a sketch pad in hand and photographers at his side. Following these voyages, Bradford began lecturing on the Arctic, illustrating his talks with lantern slides. He reached the pinnacle for authoritative lectures with his Bradford Recitals series. His depictions of these polar regions, coupled with those of other artists, explorers, whalemen, and native peoples, find a home at the museum. These works describe a harsh and ever-changing yet beautiful landscape. They also illuminate a human presence in what most consider a completely unwelcoming environment. Modern discoveries have removed some of the mysteries of the Arctic, but the region still holds transformative power. Chapter 11, Profile of William Bradford. Artist William Bradford, 1823 to 1892, descendant of Governor William Bradford of the Plymouth Colony, was born in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. His father and an uncle were whaling merchants, while another uncle and a cousin built whale ships nearby. In Bradford's early art career, he painted what he knew, whale ships and clipper ships, but sought a mentor to help him improve. In 1854, Bradford met Dutch artist Albert van Beest from Rotterdam. While sharing Bradford's studio on the Fairhaven waterfront, van Beest demonstrated the possibilities of marine painting, to which Bradford greatly responded. By the early 1860s, Bradford's recognizable style had emerged. From later Arctic voyages, Bradford produced works with a realism not seen before. He joined American artist explorers Frederick E. Church and Albert Bierstadt in venturing to remote territories, including the Rockies and Yosemite, where Bradford spent time during 1875 to 1880. He became an associate member of New York's National Academy of Design in 1874. His greatest financial rewards came from his stays in England, where Queen Victoria, her daughter Princess Louise, and members of the nobility commissioned paintings.